Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome! It is me, PWTR Justin, with the Million Dollar Manny, as we're about to present to you the gift of PWTR. Drink it in, man! Manny, how are you doing?
Super kick!
Manny,
what did Jericho go for in those moments? Like, he's supposed to be like some southern dude. Drink it in, man. Like, he sounds like he belongs on The Walking Dead.
It's the best Jericho's been in quite some time. Drink
I mean, he's
been
consistently there. What?
Yeah, but, you know, there's a long stretch where we didn't care about Jericho. Now I'm like, I like seeing him there. He's funny.
Okay,
All right. Manny, how you doing? Tell the people what's up.
I mean, I was doing better before you had me sit down and watch this bullshit, you know.
Oh,
shout out to Wrestling Mark 01. He said, I need PWTR or Kevin Pitfire to talk about that final deletion. Well, this is your fucking fault, Tim.
Yep. That's why we're going to give you the gift. Okay, it doesn't differ already. We're going to talk about the final deletion, which TNA did. That's going to be our big opening thing, because in case you guys aren't in the know or just in a different country, which is possible.
Big opening thing. We are fucking opening with TNA.
It's the biggest thing in wrestling right now. I mean, you can talk about...
But one of them is dead.
Well,
and the other one is training people.
Well...
Aww.
Okay. Very much so. All right. Here's the thing. Monday was 4th of July. People weren't watching Raw. Vince McMahon and the creative team knew this. They did put up a big show for us.
It was boring as sin.
Nothing of consequence really happened. There's a couple things. We'll get to that after the segment. So we're left in a bind of what to talk about for this show. And long came TNA. In case you aren't in the know, me and Manny aren't, you know, avid watchers of TNA anymore. It's been years since I've sat down and actually watched an Impact from beginning to end. I think it was like 2011.
I watched them on a week-to-week basis for like 2 months last year.
That's what
before I just gave up.
And that was the end. And now TNA's like, well, we can't have people not watching our show, even though that's been their mantra since day one, maybe. I mean, there's some people waiting here. Aces and 0.8s. So they decided to let Matt and Jeff Hardy do some crazy-ass shit. And we all got to watch this crazy-ass shit live on TV. Now, to preface it, basically it was home footage, like, shot elsewhere on different locations, very cinematically. A setup between Matt and Jeff Hardy. Matt's goading Jeff Hardy with drones to come fight it. I'm not making this shit up. Go watch it on YouTube. With drones.
It sounds like you're making it up, though.
I'm really not making this shit. I can't. I'm not that creative, I think. Whoever booked this, I think it was Matt Hardy himself. I would like to... And Matt Hardy's like, hey, brother Nero, because it's not Jeff anymore. He's like, come fight me. They fight in the backyard. Fireworks are shot off. Flames are ever... People are...
Wait. You got the best part.
What?
He fucked up Jeff Hardy's lawn. He cut his grass,
and that means that's like a declaration of war between the two brothers.
And Matt Hardy is apparently speaking with his Spanish accent now, even though he can't speak Spanish and doesn't understand what people are talking about.
Ye old English is what he's doing.
Ye old English, really?
I think so. That's what I get out. I don't know what he's doing. He has Sweeney Todd's haircut. I'm just sitting here like, what's going on? And then they fight all over the yard. Jeff jumps off a tree, botches the ladder spot. They can't reshoot that because why would they have Jeff jump from a tree twice? They fight into a river. People go into costumes, in and out of costumes.
They start shooting Roman candles at each other.
Yes. A Spanish lawn man tases a man in costume and then somehow gets in the costume.
The Spanish lawn man, they put the ring together in one day by himself, apparently.
Yes, and it's all leading up to the big thing where Jeff gets on top of a Hardy Boy symbol. I'm not quite sure. Matt Hardy grabs a candle from his wife. He throws it at the symbol. It catches fire. Jeff falls on a pound of dirt, which must have hurt. And 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, that was dangerous as fuck.
And that was the end of that match. And now we're left here thinking, the style of it, there are people out there saying that this style could revolutionize wrestling. Before we get into that, Manny, take us away with your thoughts on this.
Where do I even start, though, Jesse?
You have questions. Ask questions. And then, all right, I'm going to preface this. Ask your questions. And people use hashtag PWTR and help Manny answer his questions if you can. I can't
say. Yeah, man, I need more information on this shit because, A, why is Matt Hardy speaking with this strange-ass accent now? B, why the fuck is he flying drones around? Is he supposed to be some rich aristocrat? Who the fuck is that kid? Is that really his son?
That's his son. And he's, I can answer that
one. Is that really his wife?
Yes.
And they're like...
They can answer.
What did Jeff Hardy do to piss off Matt Hardy so bad that it sent him into a whole different dialect of English language? Three, where the fuck did all these drones come from? Where did Matt Hardy get all this money to be able to fly it around drones and have this private servant and shit? Matt Hardy was champion a minute ago, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a champion a few months.
Yeah, I think he was. What is Jeff Hardy's motivation for going after Matt Hardy just because he flows some drones into his house? Matt Hardy said something. I can't remember what he said. But, Jeff Hardy jumped up like, oh, hell no! And jumped on his bike and started riding off to try to find him. I'm like, huh? Really? What the fuck was that about? I mean, maybe I just need more backstory on that.
Did Matt mowed his lawn?
Matt mowed his lawn. How dare you cut my grass? No one cuts my grass but me.
It's time for fights, so we're going to battle for the ultimate final deletion, man. Delete!
Yep. If this is just a straight up fight, why did he have it done in a wrestling sanctioned match where he actually had a referee drive up and be like, what the fuck is this? And then why are we wrestling in front of no one where we can hear everything that's going on and everything just looks hokey?
And they put really dramatic music over it.
Yes. Why couldn't they find a better camera to record this on?
Why is the editing shit?
The editing is pretty shit. What else? Fuck. Okay, yeah. When the wife gives him the candle, she just kind of disappears. Where the fuck did she go?
How did Jeff turn into Willow all of this out of nowhere?
Yeah, how did Jeff turn into Willow? He went down into the water and then came back up and he was Willow all of a sudden, changed the costume and shit. And then he somehow managed to find the time to put the Willow costume on the Spanish or the Mexican gardener ring builder person.
Señor Benjamin.
Señor Benjamin. Oh my God, so many questions.
Why does Matt call him Brother Nero?
That too. There's probably some reason for that. I just don't know it.
So what do you think? So, because I have to ask you this. How is this different from Lucha Underground?
Oh, it's much different. No, Lucha Underground would do some zany shit backstage, but when it comes to the match quality and shit like that, it's top notch. It's done all in front of a live audience. It's done in an arena that is probably the best arena in all of sports. They do it, so they don't move place to place like WWE does. They do it all in the same place in Boyle Heights. The temple, yeah, the temple is great. You ever seen the style of it? You ever watched Lucha Underground?
I've watched a couple episodes of Lucha Underground, yeah.
Yeah. So they'll do some crazy ass shit backstage because it's supposed to be true kayfabe where they're they're not so much a wrestling promotion as they are also a TV show. They want to make sure that they tell the stories with these characters that could do these wild and imaginative things and all that. And all that's well and good. But when they get to the matches, they actually have matches and great moments and all that stuff. So that's what separates it. This was weird. I could have taken all of the zany ass shit that they did leading up to the match. But when they actually shot the match, it was a home movie, that was strange. That's not going to revolutionize.
But can you see the Lucha Underground influence on it, or do you think TNA is just on their own with this?
I think that was mostly I think that was TNA's failed attempt to mimic Lucha Underground. That's what it was. Because it was the writing was not there. And I will say this, though. Matt Hardy, if he had acted the way that he did in this video his whole career, then he would have had a much longer run with WWE and would have actually contributed to some better moments because he was actually interesting. I didn't know Matt Hardy could act that way. Not that he's some great Oscar-winning actor or anything, but he was definitely a lot more interesting than boring-ass, regular-ass Matt Hardy. I can tell you that. He didn't have a personality when he was in WWE, did he, Justin?
Well, he did with that Lita feud, but that besides that.
No, he didn't have a personality then.
He was pissed.
He had motivation. He was angry. That doesn't give him personality.
His personality was this guy who wouldn't stop at nothing to beat up this fucker who took his girl or something like that. That was his personality.
Okay, but that's like in one, that's in one feud.
Hand in hand. But yeah, I'm just saying, outside that one feud, I couldn't tell you. Maybe the feud with Jeff at near the end, you know, where he blew up, burned his house down and stuff like that. Maybe
that was silly.
It was silly, but that was personality where he's a sociopath. But
this one, he was actually playing a character and he was like legitimately like fun to watch. So all in all, I think this is one of those things that is just so bad that it was awesome. Like, I people are saying that this is going to revolutionize wrestling. I don't believe that whatsoever. I think that WWE is still at the top notch when it comes to, like, overall wrestling. I think that Lucha Underground is the top notch when it comes to storytelling and the complete package. And I think ROH has done a great job filling a little niche in terms of what they do in the ring and putting the emphasis on what happens in the ring as opposed to storytelling and stuff like that. But what TNA did with this is this was like if we started a wrestling promotion and we started putting some shit together.
Yeah. All right, here's my question to you.
What?
What do you think of TNA after this? Like, what do you think their head's at? Like,
I don't think anything of them.
Still? Doesn't change anything for you?
Doesn't change a fucking thing. I'm not going to go and watch the next episode of Impact because I saw this. No.
All right,
no.
Here's my next question for you.
Go ahead.
Do you think you're going to... Would you be willing to see more stuff like this in maybe WWE or something like that? Would you like to see...
If it was done better, I don't like the whole... Like, this reminded me of if M. Night Shyamalan got his hands on the empty arena match from 1999 with The Rock and Mankind, and he just wanted to cinefy it. Is that a word? Cinefy?
Well, it is now. Tweet it!
He just wanted to cinefy it and make everything, like, put all these twists and turns and these zany characters and make them do all this other shit that had nothing to do with the match. And nah. Like, the empty arena match was one thing, and that was something that they had to do in order to pre-tape it so that they could have it played during the Super Bowl halftime. That was, like, their attempt at that. This was just TNA grasping at straws, and it was overall not done well for me. If it was done better... If they had better storytelling and better editing, maybe. But ultimately, I still want to see it culminate in a match that happens in front of a live audience. I don't need the whole they're wrestling in the middle of nowhere and having this regular-ass match with each other.
But how would you get Roman Candle fired at people?
You could do that with people there. Fuck it. Fuck the people.
Murder some people.
Brock Lesnar almost murdered a child.
Yeah,
with
he did.
That he
and
did.
A lady. He threw a monitor at a lady once. Brock's,
yeah.
Brock's not safe. But
yeah, fuck the people.
All right. Just quickly, my perspective. I hated it. I hate how it looked, how it was presented. I hated the story with that. I thought it was stupid. Yeah, I love stupid things, but that was my limit. There's a limit. And I never liked
it. Wait. At what scene did you reach your limit?
My first opening scene with Maxwell's birthday party. I was done. Like, oh, what a xylophone. What a xylophone. What a wonderful xylophone. Like, no, this is stupid. What's this got to do with wrestling? And then you get to the wrestling, it's some of the worst I've ever seen in my entire life.
Outside of Jeff Hardy, just to do some really cool spots.
Yeah, well, it's Jeff. Jeff has always been the one who's like, oh my gosh, Jeff is cool. I like Jeff. I like Matt.
Matt looks old, dude.
Jeff
he looks
pretty
so old.
Jeff looks like the drugs have really worn him down a bit.
I mean, but all Jeff has to do is fall.
That's all he's ever had to do. But besides that, and to answer my own question, no, I would not want to see something like this in WWE. I think I would see more creative storylines, maybe shoot some stuff like outside the arena sometime, but not like how they did here where it's a whole story or something like that. Just
as long as it's not cheesy and overdone like it was in that moment.
Yeah, just
like when they did shit like when Steve Austin went to Brian Pillman's house. Or
yes, that was
when,
cool. I like that.
Yeah, or when Triple H showed up at Randy Orton's house.
That was awesome. I like that.
Yeah. Stuff like that. That was cool.
He doesn't have to go to like someone's house either. Can like do a thing. Like I remember back
in those Stone Cold in the bedpan.
I love
Stone Cold and Booker T at the grocery store.
That's my favorite Stone Cold thing he's ever done. That was him and Booker, the confessional too with Booker T.
The professional.
But even if you want to do something super serious, because that supermarket stuff wasn't super serious, but like, I don't know if you're going to be a fan of this, but back in 2003, King and Shane had a feud. And like the week before the ambulance match, Shane invited him to like a dinner thing at a restaurant just to let Kane know, like, this is your last supper, motherfucker. And like, that's pretty cool. I can get behind something like that.
It'd be weird because they'd have to change their entire format. The way that Lucha Underground does is their like cutscenes are like drawn in and fused into the things that they're doing. They're the cutscenes. Yes, they are. They're cutscenes. They're cutscenes of the video game. Yes, but they're just like kind of infused into what they're already doing. Where like Matt Stryker and Vampiro, who are the announcers, they're not aware of those cutscenes. It's done as if like it's happening like backstage and shit like that. And the audience that's watching TV are the only people that are aware of it. So like somebody will be given a gold medallion by Darian Cueto, and Matt Stryker will come out, will be on TV and be like, oh, well, apparently something happened where he now has a medallion. When the hell did this happen? So WWE, for them to do something like this, they'd have to change up their entire thing, because Michael Cole is just keenly aware of everything that's going on. Yeah.
To the point where you wonder why other people who, like, if, like, there's a secret or something like that, how the other people do not know about the secret. Michael Cole knows. Like, let's say Seth Rollins is screwing Roman Reigns, like, dude, I'm going to totally screw Roman Reigns. It says it's a Triple H, and Michael Cole knows this. How does Roman Reigns not know this at some point?
Exactly. Like, silly shit like that. And WWE is catered more toward the live audience than they are toward the TV audience. So it has a different dynamic
to
it. I don't think they can pull off.
I'm not saying every week. It's like,
no, TNA doesn't have a live audience.
But my thing with what I was saying earlier before you went into your explanation, which I really don't. The thing that only should come up for like certain feuds, like let's say the Roman Reigns Seth Rollins feud gets so heated, they have like this like segment where Roman Reigns is like, I don't know, like playing with the star, and all of a sudden Seth Rollins is playing with the star, like, oh shit, something like that.
Playing with his what?
Daughter. Not pervertedly or anything. You're not fucking sick, but like.
No, I didn't hear what you said. I'm just playing with this, and I'm like, what? Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Seth Rollins kidnaps Roman Reigns' daughter at some point or something like that.
I don't need daughters getting involved in this shit.
Dude, it would be great. I'm bringing this back after a year. Bray Wyatt should have brought his daughter into the Wyatt family.
Oh.
That was a great story, and they left to drop the ball. I am sorry.
No,
it was going to be something amazing. But yeah.
No, thanks.
Okay, this will lead into our next topic actually pretty epically. But before we get into that, I'm going to say, bottom line, I don't think it's going to change much. I appreciate what TNA is doing to try to, like, separate themselves and, like, try something new to, like...
Separate themselves? They're trying to survive.
Yeah, they're trying to survive. They're doing what they have to do to survive, which I appreciate, but they could have done something a little smarter and not so damn stupid that kind of really shows how fake and the business is. Is there a show of friendliness or something like that? He's not a wrestler.
Desperation.
Desperation is true. If I was your friend that's using a wrestling, they'd be like, this is the stupidest thing ever. This is what you fucking watch. That's a problem.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think it's a nice attempt, but I think it's a failure overall. So
like, I just the whole concept of him like building it to be a wrestling match as opposed to just a fight. Like, who the fuck would do that in the real world? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I don't know, but you have a ref come down and say, hey, record the submission. No.
Record the pinfall, and he has been deleted because he lost in the wrestling match that we built up to. Yeah.
Delete. Yeah. Overall, I think it's a failure, but I appreciate that they're trying something. Because whether or not we think it's like a bad segment or not, it got people's attention, and that's what they needed. So we're here talking about it in the first segment. So I guess TNA did something right with it. So
I'm posting the chat right now to Charlie. Charlie, comma, that was
what? Manny?
What?
Yeah, you cut out for a second.
I said that was fucking ridiculous.
All right, yeah. So, yeah, that's our thoughts on that. But moving on, this we'll play into our next segment. The best thing that happened on Raw, and in my opinion, I think Manny's too, is the New Day with the Wyatt family segment. Where basically New Day is acting still goofy, like, oh, we're not taking this seriously. Bray Wyatt's like, hey, come to my compound. And Xavier was like, okay, guys, let's be serious for a second. If we don't take these guys seriously, we're not going to make it through this. And I think that's a great way to take this story, like, in so many different directions. Basically, it's laying the groundwork for just, like, Xavier was like, dude, we're all fun and games, but this is a serious story. It makes the Wyatt family seem good. It makes the New Day add a little more to them as well. So I think it was probably one of the most perfectly written, conceived ideas in quite some time in WWE, I would like to think. There are probably some other things, but right now, and living in the moment, I think it's really awesome. And it could lead to something where it's filmed another area where they New Day goes to the Wyatt family compound. That could lead to some really cool, creepy stuff, I think, if they were to do it like that. I don't know if that's what's going to go down. I'm just fancy booking, maybe. But yeah, Manny, your thoughts.
I believe that I'm never going to say until I see the whole thing, I'm not going to say this is a great thing, but I believe that they are moving in the right direction. I talked about it last week, how I was interested by what was going on with Xavier Woods and the little nuances that he was throwing out, and I was hopeful of what direction they were going to go in, and it appears that they are going in that direction where everything that New Day has done to this point, like Xavier Woods said, has been all fun and games. It's all been in the spirit of competition, where if they lost the match, you know, what the fuck ever, we're still the New Day, we're going to go ahead and try to get our tag team titles back because the power of positivity and yada, yada, yada. But he looks at the Wyatt family, and they are fucking killers. They will put you in the ground. They are serious business. And like you said, it puts the Wyatts over immensely. It makes them look like a real threat where they have wrestlers shook about facing off against them. And then it also gives Xavier Woods and the New Day some depth of characters where they've come out before and they've been relatively one-dimensional. They've always been, you know, happy-go-lucky and we're going to joke around and have fun. And they've been great in doing that, but putting them in a feud with the Wyatts and doing it the way that they've done, it has the opportunity to give them some versatility in what they're able to offer in order to entertain the fans. And it's been great. It's been great. I just hope that they move in the right direction. I don't want to see them end up in some hokey-ass spooky segment where we're doing jump scares and See No Evil Part 5 or sending Shawn Michaels and Triple H under the ring to go to Leprechaun Court.
Oh, I'm not saying that. Let's just
some shit like that.
Trying to undercut what I'm saying. No. I meant more like the lines like
a No. I wasn't trying to undercut you. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to undercut you. I'm just saying, like, if they do go to the compound, I just hope that they treat it with respect, deserves, and not just try to throw something out there. Yeah.
Ideal segment is they just go to the compound, they see a bunch of followers, they're just staring at them. You know, very creepy, like, because, you know, Bray Wyatt apparently has a whole bunch of followers. It just takes someone.
He should see, like, a sea of followers in goat masks. That'd be creepy as shit.
Yeah, like, they did with the scene of people, they surrounded the ring or something like that. But then they walk up to Bray, and just Bray talks to them. And it's just, like, the most eerily creepy thing. Just treat it with seriousness. Like, you're trying to build, like, this feud is serious. Go all the way with it. Don't make hokey or jump scares or Braun Strowman walks out with a machete going, blah, like that. Don't do that. Like, that's not what we're going for. I'm talking about just a legit intense, like, tense. Make some intense is what I'm saying with this. And yeah, I think that adds possibilities to it. I really like the idea of them going to the compound. That's just really, really interesting. I also like to go on.
Those compound segments are really good. The way that Bray Wyatt came off as legitimately creepy and threatening in those segments.
Yes, Bray is on his game at the moment. So is the New Day. Everyone's on their game in the segment. Well, who needs to be? Like, Eric Rowan and Braun Strowman just playing their role. Whatever. But I do like the dynamic of the character. You're saying character development. Like, we're like, New Day, like, Kofi and Big E are treating this like any other feud they've treated, like, with the Dudley Boys, with Enzo and Cass, all these feuds. But Xavier Woods, like, this is different. We have to, like, stop doing this. What we're doing right now isn't going to cut it against this.
And I want to know, I really want to know why Xavier Woods sees that, but the other two can't see that. Like, what happened to him to make him understand the threat that the Wyatt family is?
I think Xavier's always been the smart one of the three because he has the PhD or whatever. He's just picking up on it. Like, Big E and Kofi are just like they're like coasting. They're like, we beat everybody else. They would beat these two hillbillies or whatever. It's like not a big deal. Xavier's like, I don't know about this guy. It's just, you always have that one friend who's a little bit ahead of everyone else, I think. And I think that's where Xavier is. And, like, Big E and Kofi are just like, we're undefeatable. We're coasting. We're tag team champions for how long? Do you think these guys are going to beat us? Cap on. Xavier's like, guys, we need to take a closer look at this, just to be sure. And I like that dynamic of the three of them.
Yeah, man. That'd be great.
It's leading to some really good stuff. I'm so interested in this feud. Like, I love the New Day. I can't say I've always been invested in their feuds, though. I've been invested in them, not so much in the feud. This, I'm invested in the feud and see where it goes.
What feud have you been invested in of theirs?
Of New Day?
Yeah.
I think the first...
Like, definitely not Aiden English and Simon Gotch.
Maybe,
like,
the Dudley Boys? When they first popped up? When that first popped up with Save the Tables or whatever?
No.
Not like this invested, but I was like, okay, the Dudley Boys are back. I was cool with that. It added some excitement to it. But
right,
besides that,
right.
I can't think of anything. Maybe not the primetime players. Yeah, it's just mostly just been... Maybe Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. Way back.
Does that even count? That wasn't even the New Day yet.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I didn't care about the Usos feud. Didn't care about the League of Nations feud, for the love of God. Yeah, so this is the first time I've legit cared about a New Day feud. So
I cared about the Usos feud to the point that, like, the shit that Xavier Woods was saying at the Sammy Awards about the Usos being voted best tag team, that was hilarious.
Yeah, but
and the way that they play off
that was
of
more
that.
About the that was more about the New Day and not so much the Usos.
That's true.
I've always been invested in them. I've always been invested with the Wyatt family. I've never wavered on.
I would have been invested in them versus Enzo and Cass, but you know, Cass.
I think
Cass,
but
Enzo
not,
got hurt.
But not in the same way. That's more like, oh my god, this is just funny. These two guys griffing on each other. It wouldn't be this intense, like, interesting, intricate, something we haven't really seen much in WWE. This feud that Wyatt family's bring to the table. And I think that's what WWE's finally started to realize with the Wyatt family, what they can bring to the table. It doesn't have to be all these, like, surprise attacks out of nowhere or something like that. It's just to be like, these guys are, like, sinister a little bit. Have a little fun with it. So I think they're going in the right direction with both teams. I hope they both come out smelling like roses at the end of the day. I hope this isn't the end for the New Day, because the Bryce split is coming up, and I do worry that they're going to break those guys up. And I worry about the breaking up. Yeah, and I'm worried about the – they can break up the Wyatt family, I guess, but – keep Luke Harper and Bray Wyatt together. That's all I really care about. But, yeah, that's where I just hope for the best. We have to see the next segment. I can't wait to – I really can't wait to see that. That's probably – I wanted to see the Ambrose assignment with the Shield, all three of those guys, but this one's up there with what I'm most excited to watch Raw for in the past couple months. Anything else you want to say about this, Manny?
Not really. This is one of those things where I, like I said, I don't want to give them full credit until I see the rest of it. So we'll see.
And it better be a good match too. I don't know who's going to be the tag for the tag
title. I'm sure it'll be a good match.
Well,
you know, they got the you know, world championship potential Braun Strowman out there. You know what I mean?
With the brand split, that's actually kind of true.
Oh shit, low key it is.
And
you
notice they started to say WWE title, not WWE World Heavyweight title, right?
Yeah.
It's on the wall.
I can't do that.
Well, speaking of WWE champion, though, Dean Ambrose was on Raw. Once again, there wasn't much that happened on Raw. He didn't really do much either. So Seth Rollins is the one. His challenger is also Roman Reigns, which Seth Rollins for the Shield Triple Threat at Battleground. Roman Reigns is not there yet again, but you know what? Seth Rollins is not afraid to let us know that he's not there and what he's done to what Roman Reigns has done and what Dean Ambrose has done, taking his life from him, that WWE title, which adds prestige to the WWE title, adds prestige to the feud. There's not much to say. I just blocked it. Manny, what you got?
I mean, I have a little bit to say. Most of it is about Seth Rollins. I appreciate the way that he's come back in the sense that he has on the microphone. He comes off as somebody that's like a legit character in WWE that has a lot to say and has a lot of conviction about what he's saying, something that he did not have in his initial run, even as WWE champion. We all know he was awful. You remember that first promo he cut after he hit Roman Reigns in the back with the chair? And like I bought in.
Yeah.
Like that shit was awful. It was all over the place. It was his tones were just fucking all off. He didn't sound like he believed what he was actually saying. He sounded like somebody that was trying to grow into somebody that could command people on the microphone. Where now,
wait. I don't want to cut you off. I just want to say he came into his own with this Brock Lesnar. People were like, I'm not afraid of Brock Lesnar or John Cena. That was when he came to his own. But yeah, go on.
He came into his own as a character then.
On the mic, too. I think he got way more comfortable when he was doing
that. Wasn't on the mic. And then he came into his own then, and he took steps back because he didn't do anything with that since.
Well, yeah, because they made him a chicken shit. But he always be like, man, I'm not scared of Brock Lesnar. I'm not scared of John Cena. I'm the money in the bank. Yeah, that's a good stuff with Dean Ambrose, too.
But you hear the passion and conviction in his voice when he talks now?
Yeah.
Like,
this is the best he's been. I'm just saying. He was always awful on the mic. He was always okay.
No. I wasn't saying he was always awful. I'm saying, like, he was awful to start.
Yes.
Initial promo.
He had to get comfortable.
Then he got better. Then he got a little more comfortable. Now I think he's working toward being a master on the mic. And a master storyteller, specifically. Like, he goes in there and he says, you stole my WWE championship. You stole my life from me. And I'm going to take it back. And you hear the conviction in his voice that he's not afraid of going in there and beating down on Dean Ambrose and beating down on Roman Reigns, even though he tries his damnedest to make it a one-on-one match, because why the fuck wouldn't you? That's just a smart thing to do. He still is not afraid to go in there. You can hear it. And it's something that I appreciate. I don't know if it's just something he's been stewing on since his injury, but I love this version of Seth Rollins that we're getting right now. And Dean Ambrose... And Dean Ambrose as well. Dean Ambrose is actually a really good champion. He's really funny, and he plays off of Seth Rollins really well. So
yeah, so Roman Reigns is sitting at home, but, you know.
Yeah, Roman Reigns is at home. He's going to be in the same position that he was to start this season.
I will say that someone had a tweet, I think Charlie shared it, had a tweet of the day. It was like, man, I think Roman Reigns is really pissed off that he's being punished not sitting at home instead of being in that barbecue dress. I think, Roman Reigns really is during his punishment.
See, okay, but Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins weren't in that shit either, so what are we talking about?
But, you know, there's always a chance I could have Roman Reigns like, you know what, God bless America.
What do you think we would have gotten from Roman Reigns if he hadn't gotten suspended? Like, what would this feud look like?
It'd be like, you know, a bunch of tag matches. That's all I see out of it. Because they know the Shield Triple Threat is going to sell itself, basically. They wouldn't put all the effort in the world on it. Now that one of the guys is gone, they're like, oh, shit, effort, Seth Rollins, do your thing. Dean Ambrose, hey, be Dean Ambrose.
Why isn't it a triple threat ladder match? I feel like those work out a lot better than the regular triple threats.
Does it need to be a ladder match?
I mean, not necessarily. Just
I think it's gonna be a fine match. I think it's gonna be the best match of the show. So even without the ladder,
Yeah, absolutely. Because Seth Rollins is in it.
And plus, we've been waiting for years for this to happen. So
do you remember? Do you remember, like, in 2013?
Yep. WrestleMania 30, when they thought U.S. title match was between the three.
I wasn't talking about that. I'm talking about when they put out the poll of which Shield member you thought was going to be WWE champion first.
And it was Roman Reigns?
No, it was Seth Rollins.
And Dean was last. Like, I remember that.
Yeah, Dean was last, Roman Reigns was second, Seth Rollins was first.
Hey, play and, now. Shit.
And we fucking laughed at that. Do you?
Yeah, we... I remember David and everyone, like, Brandon was the big one who loved Seth Rollins. And then, like, he had, like, David, Jay, and I'm like, man, Seth Rollins is going to be serving hot dogs at WrestleMania or something like that. Yeah.
Man, it's just Dean Ambrose selling hot dogs. And then he had a segment with Kane where he was actually selling hot dogs. That's fucking hilarious.
Yes. See, it all worked out because Seth Rollins was the first, Roman was second, Dean was third.
And Seth is the best wrestler out of that group. I didn't know that. I thought he was just like the guy that could do high flying moves. And to be fair, he's a lot bigger now than he was then too.
Yeah,
and a lot stronger.
I think he was a solid wrestler back in the Shield. Dean was always my favorite, but I always knew Seth was the best worker. I thought Reigns was a good, heavy to have there. But
that's what I thought Reigns was the big guy. And that Dean Ambrose was, like, the technical worker.
Oh,
and
my God. No.
I did. And then I thought Seth Rollins was just a high-flying guy, and I thought that's how that trio worked. But apparently Seth Rollins is, like, all three of those.
Yeah, all three of those, basically. But, yeah, Roman Reigns has been like, God bless America, I'm going to win my title back. Dean, you're a bastard. Seth, fuck you. I don't know. I don't know how it would have went, but
Seth, stop acting like a baby back bitch.
Oh, he said bitch.
Dean. Oh, he's like Rock.
Dean, you have tater tots. I don't like tater tots. I don't know. It probably would have been good. It probably would have been fine, actually.
Went through a really weird period during that feud with Big Show.
Yeah, well, that and Sheamus, that's back into December. It's like, you have tater tots. My God, the burn.
Oh, my gosh, man. Okay, what's next?
All right, yeah, we've said what we need to say about that. But Seth Rollins is pretty good. And now we're going to talk about how John Cena suddenly had friends. It just sounds like, yo, the club, we're going to kill you, John Cena. And Cena's like, nah, man, I ain't having that. I'm going to go on Facebook and get some of these friend requests, and hopefully someone accepts. Turns out, nah, man. And he sent these friend requests to Enzo and Big Cass, and they accept, God damn it. And they're like, so, at Battleground, it's going to be John Cena, Enzo and Big Cass versus The Club. Our thoughts. Manny, you take it away.
Wait, what? That's an official match?
Yeah.
Why? I thought they were doing that to, like, have a match on SmackDown or something.
No, it's Battleground.
Oh, my fucking God. What the fuck? We haven't even resolved this John Cena versus AJ Styles thing yet.
They have to resolve the club first, then AJ Styles.
Fuck the club. I ain't worried about the club.
No. You understand what Cena's going for. He's like, you have to cut off the body of the snake, obviously. You don't go for the head. You go right for the body.
that's actually frustrating. It's actually frustrating.
And
but
if you think about it, if the Wyatt family does all three men versus all three men, if we're going to have 2 6-man tags on a pay-per-view, man.
God damn it, Teddy Long.
Teddy Long's like, holla, holla, holla. Like, no.
I mean, I don't care. If Enzo and Cass can distract the club long enough that we can actually have this match, and I'm all for it. So,
no, you understand. Enzo and the Cass are there so Enzo can take the pin. That's the idea.
Oh, fuck that. Come
AJ's
on,
gonna man. Get 2 wins, then at the end of the day, John Cena's gonna win, but people are gonna be like, oh man, AJ Styles beat Cena twice, when not really. But
AJ Styles has a chance to beat him so clean.
I know, and they like we talked about this last week, we're not going back down that rabbit hole. And once again,
yeah, okay.
I did right. John Cena is my favorite on the roster. Not true, but I like John Cena a lot. Okay.
When you made your PWCR video based on John Cena sucks, he's a bum, he should be fired immediately.
Hey, let's not bring up things.
Not my whole thing. Let's just not bring up things in general.
Like that, yeah. So we have no thoughts on that, but you know, that's pretty much. That was the only big things that happened on Raw, those three things. I guess we're talking about Kevin Owens got a pie in the face. Get it because he's fat.
And then he went on and had the match at the end of the night.
Yeah, that was a thing, I guess.
That certainly was a thing.
Yeah, you were talking about
the
match.
Boring-ass episode.
I have nothing else to say about that match. It just happened. Zack Ryder beats Cesaro.
It kind of, you
That's
know,
all
it
you
did
need to
do
say.
A good job. I ain't worried about Zack Ryder. No. It did a good job of playing up the Kevin Owens and Zack Ryder? No. What's the fuck is he saying? Sami Zayn.
Wow.
I thought there was a difference in you there.
I got
Sami Zayn
and
Kevin Owens.
From this call, you confused Zack Ryder with Sami Zayn. You gotta be cut. You're fired, Manny.
No, but they did a good job of playing that up, and then the dysfunction that was going on the Italian squad, the international squad. What the fuck is wrong with you right now?
Yep, man.
But like,
Kevin
you look
Owens.
At the Americans, and it's like a bunch of jobbers, and it just like shows how much. The international scene has become a part of WWE and what they're doing, so I don't know.
Zack Ryder beat Cesaro. That's all you need to fucking know about that stupid ass thing.
Big Show was on the match. Did I see Mark Henry like backstage munching on some cupcakes or something?
I don't remember. I wasn't looking for Mark.
Like I thought he wasn't wrestling, and I thought he wasn't with the company anymore.
I thought he retired too. I don't know.
Hmm.
I will
okay.
say, I did like when the food fight was going on, Kevin Owens hit under the table. I like that aspect of that. But
yes, me too.
That was good.
And Cesaro and somebody was just sitting there eating while the fight was going on.
Yeah, there's some fun things in that fight. It was stupid. Shouldn't have been on TV, but whatever. It's a holiday
been
show. Yeah, no, I guess the last thing we'll talk about is how stupid WWE is in their booking. Titus O'Neil probably should have beat Rusev in the U.S. title match because it's the 4th of July. He's wearing American pants. You want to get him over, that's how you do it. But no, Rusev could have won it back next week. But no, let's not get Titus O'Neil over. Let's just have him lose.
Yeah.
4th of July.
Yeah. I mean, Rusev is a little more important at this point. So
no, I say Rusev should have won next week, but you know, like, when you make another guy, you have Titus O'Neil win on the 4th of July the U.S. title. That would have done something for him, I think. Ritzel,
yeah.
Nah. Let's not. Nah. Development, he's black. No. Let's not do that. basically.
Oh, man.
But yeah, Rusev is your nice. I like Rusev. I like him way more than I like Titus O'Neil, but I still think it would have been a smart business decision to go with that. But apparently, I'm the only one with thoughts on that. So I guess we'll wrap it up here. Manny, how was your 4th of July?
We've gotten to this point.
Yep. That was Raw and a pancake.
I had a long ass, shitty ass weekend. And
it was Raw better than your shitty ass weekend?
No, Raw just put a cap on the shitty ass.
Oh, man.
So basically, how that went.
Mark,
you want to watch some of the show?
Oh, you should hype people up for Lucha Underground now.
Yeah.
Ultimate Lucha is happening. Hype them up.
Ultimate Lucha is happening. We're going to have Rey Mysterio versus Prince Puma.
Ultimate Lucha is happening. Just stop.
I mean, that's all I really should have to say. Like, you know it's Lucha Underground.
Explain Ultimate Lucha to the people, because some people don't watch it, maybe.
And Ultimate Lucha is like Lucha Underground's version of WrestleMania. Not their version. It's their biggest show that they put on. It's their season finale show. So you know it's going to be good. We're going to get Prince Puma, who I think is arguably the best luchador in all of wrestling today. And he's going to be going up against Rey Mysterio, who is arguably the best luchador of all time. And, you know, that's epic in and of itself. You're going to have a championship match between Matanza Cueto and... Fuck. Who the fuck is he facing?
I don't know. Great Khali.
I think it's Pentagon Jr.
Maybe.
It is Pentagon Jr. Yeah. Because of some shit that happened. And Pentagon is probably going to break his arm. And then you're going to have your Gift of the Gods match, which is just the ultimate version of Money in the Bank. And some other shit is going to happen. It's going to be a great show. Like, Lucha Underground puts on great shows, especially in their Ultimate Lucha spot. So.
Is the Great Khali in the roster?
No. Where did you get that from? No.
Come on.
Stop it.
I'm ruining Lucha Underground.
Tweet Justin if you want him to watch Ultimate Lucha and give a review
on
it. No,
tweet Duke your pictures of your dick. He'll appreciate that.
No, plus the dick pics. Tweet Justin the Lucha Underground pics.
Lucha Underground pics.
All right. Bro, Justin, I really would just let's sit down in a couple weeks and watch the matches from Ultimate Lucha and just have you give your quick thoughts as an outsider on what it is.
We shall see. How no promises, but I can see maybe that happening. So we'll see.
Okay.
Well, before we close before we do, your thoughts on Kevin Durant going to the war?
Man, don't even get me started.
No. We got time. The fans have checked out by this point. Wrestling's done. Talk about Kevin Durant for a second. We
have to talk about it. Oh, so fucking weak. It was so frustrating.
Oh, Stephen A. Smith
got
to you. The weakest move.
Yeah, and I agree with everything that Stephen A. Smith had to say. It was like a punk-ass move. So, this is way worse than the decision because, mind you, when LeBron left Cleveland, he was leaving a bare cover where there was nothing there for him. And that organization checked out on him way before he checked out on that organization. You know what I'm saying? So he went to Miami. Yes, that was a mistake, in my opinion. It was like him banding up or whatever. But this is way worse because Kevin Durant, not only is he leaving a championship contender, he's leaving to go to the team that beat him in the Western Conference Finals when it was arguably his fault that they lost in the Western Conference Finals. So it's like, you're abandoning OKC. Yeah, you're going to fuck up OKC and then abandon OKC and go to the team that got you fucked up instead. You know what I mean? Like, it's just all around weak. Weak sauce. Weak sauce. All
right. My thoughts, real quick. I like Kevin Durant.
Me too.
I think he's a great player.
And I'm sorry. Just he has the right to do what he wants to do. I'm not saying that he doesn't, but I just, in my opinion, it was a weak move.
I think it hurts him overall. What the game of Stephen A. Smith said was like, oh, win a championship in a ring. Is there a difference between the two? I feel like there is because, like, it's like shooting fish in a barrel by going to the Warriors. You get a ring and you're a champion. So what? You had to do it you took the easy way. Like, no one would have been bitching if you went to the Spurs or, like, Boston.
Miami.
Yeah, because you're not going to a team that's, if you were to go to guarantees a championship ring, I don't think any team can beat the Warriors now. I don't think. So it's like you're shooting fish in a barrel to win a championship, and that's not. I mean, you win a championship, but like, so what at that point? Like, you didn't really.
I mean,
win
just
it.
Ask LeBron. Like, his title that he won in Cleveland this year is worth like 10 of the ones that he would have won in Miami.
Far, like, that's why he was crying at this one. He won.
Yeah, he had to beat the fucking best player, the person that had the best season in the league in a game 7 for a team that hadn't won the title in 50 plus years.
Exactly. LeBron, yeah, even when LeBron went to Miami, and he lost the first year. The year he won, he had to earn that, too.
Yeah, but...
LeBron had to... I mean, Bosh and Wade were there, but Wade's old, and Bosh isn't that great. And it's like, there's still challenges for LeBron to, like, overcome, because the West is the best conference in the league. It's been that way for years. So it's like, there's still... LeBron was overcoming something, but Kevin Durant's not overcoming anything.
Miami is not in the West, Justin.
No, I'm saying they had to beat the West to win the championship, so.
You didn't have to go through the West to get there.
No, you get to the finals, but you have to beat the West still at the end of the day, which is the best.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I was trying to say. I'm not saying they're in the West. I'm saying, like, LeBron had to earn it. I don't think Durant's earning a ring by going to the Warriors. I think he's just like, oh, I'm here.
Yeah.
Thanks for the ring, Steph, Draymond, Klay Thompson. Thanks. Thanks for the ring. I could do it myself, but you guys could do it.
Now they apparently got David West. They signed Zaza Pachulia, and now I hear that they're gonna be picking up Ray Allen.
Oh my god. Oh well, my Spurs are done. So.
I'm still gonna root for them. Fuck it, because I love Steph Curry, but. Yeah, that's kind of fucked up, the way that they're doing it.
Nah, my Spurs are fucked.
my boy Lamar has been a Warriors fan since, like, 2009, so he's ecstatic right now. And can't nobody tell him shit.
Like, did you see that video or, like, those funny videos I, like, retweeted, like, 4th of July or whatever? Like, had the Independence Day quote and speech of LeBron giving the speech to the entire rest of the NBA.
Yes.
We will not give up. We will not go quietly. I was like, yes. It's going to be a hard season to watch, I think, because none of our – if your team's not the Warriors, settle in.
Yeah, good luck.
Have fun. I mean, LeBron – has an outside chance, but it's like very outside, you know, like miles outside the line. So, hey. That's it for BWTR. We're talking about basketball. Because we talked. Really, wrestling gave us nothing. Maybe next week. And I guess it's the time we should announce that this is our first.
No.
Jay told me we had to.
Oh, no. Why?
All right. Okay. Basically, we're on a farewell tour for this era of PWTR. Me and Manny are not leaving the site or anything like that. We'll have other shows to do, but PWTR, as you know it, in this way, is coming to an end relatively soon. Probably next week's our final show, so get this one out there. Let people know, and we want to thank you guys for tuning in all these for like a year now with us.
Oh, fuck that. Hashtag PWTR forever.
Hashtag PWTR for life. Yeah, let's know your thoughts on this episode. Let us know your thoughts on this episode of PWTR, your thoughts on the final deletion and what you think its place in wrestling is, and all the kind of things that happened on Raw with the hashtag PWTR. Let's know what you thought on Kevin Durant. Is he a bitch? I think so. Hashtag PWTR. Let us know.
Tweet us with your favorite PWTR memories, too.
Yeah, well, this era from when it was rebranded. And we're in this format. Let's say your favorite moments. And my say my.
Cancel.
I will let you know.
Cancel.
Yeah. As for Duke should be here next week for the final episode, and I hope Manny is too. We can work something out. And yeah, so thank you guys for listening. And Manny, undercut me.
Peace.